You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Ariel, and this is our kickoff podcast for Russian Doll. And luckily, I am not alone. I am joined by my sweet birthday babies, Grace and Marissa. Very exciting. Grace, how are you doing?
I'm great. I have this cigarette that has cocaine in it. I'm doing great.
Marissa, do you have one as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you do. That's
what you're passing around the same one.
Yeah.
It's what the Israelis do, apparently.
I also have like a hunger for a birthday chicken.
Yeah, big yes. Roast chicken. Yeah.
I can't wait to talk about all those things. I mean, I guess
you get a new bathroom door, Ariel?
Yes, did you notice the portal? The portal door.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're getting so ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, sorry.
So we will be covering all of Russian Doll seasons 1 and 2, but to start out with, we wanted to just have a quick kickoff pod to give our emotions and thoughts about the series as a whole, our experience with it, and then we will be back in the Binge Show Recaps feed with episodes for the first season. We will be recapping the first season to, honestly, mostly for ourselves, because it was 2019, if you can believe it, when
that's
the first season premiered.
Yeah.
It was
many timelines ago.
Yeah, that was like that was pre-panda of the pre-panda. So yeah, we're gonna do a few episodes of that, and then we will be back on 420, which is the premiere, which is the aptly chosen premiere date for season 2, April 20th, and we will be doing daily pods for each episode there and forward. So it's gonna be a long journey, and I'm happy to have you two along with me.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah.
It should be a good time. I'm excited. I mean, I hope we don't repeat ourselves too much. I hope, you know, we're able to like remember everything that happens as we go on.
What if we just release the same podcast every day?
Oh God, would anyone notice? Yeah, so I guess I'll just start with you, Marissa. What is your experience with Russian Dolls, I guess, in general, or do you only want to speak about the show?
I can tell you, my parents do have a Russian doll in the china cabinet, so I do have access to an actual Russian doll, but we're not really allowed to touch it, so don't know what good it's gonna do.
And now you know why.
Yeah, but when it comes to the show, I vividly remember my experience with Russian Doll. I was over at my aunt's. And it was like, hey, should we check out the show on Netflix called Russian Doll? It looks pretty cool. And I watched it and I was like, what the heck is this? This is so great. And then I think it was like one of the first truly binged within 24-hour show that I ever really experienced. Believe me, my binging career has evolved since then, but that was like one of the first ones that I remember just hitting next because I couldn't stop. I just needed to know what was going to happen.
Yeah, and the episodes are great. I thought you were going to say like you were one of the first people to watch the show. I was like, wow, that's very cool. I can't. But yeah, I mean, it helps that the episodes are for the most part, you know, in the 25, 26 mm-hmm. minute range. So they're kind of, it's made to be binged. What about you, Grace? What was your experience with Dolls Russian?
Yeah, my parents do not have any Russian dolls in the cabinet, but that's okay. I saw the show, I think, very cleverly. I believe season one comes out the day before Groundhog Day. I believe it's February 1st in 2019. Oh, and so yeah, that was the Friday. And so I do remember like immediately watching it. I'm a huge Natasha Lyonne fan from Orange is the New Black and I'm a cheerleader. So I was very excited for her show. And this, she created this show, like it was her idea. And so I was very excited. I believe I watched it all on that Saturday, just the same thing, like just, yeah, I can watch all of these in one day, 8 episodes in season one. So it's really good. And I think credit to, you know, I was like in, cause it was Natasha Lyonne, but I do think like credit to any show that does like basically the Groundhog Day thing and can mm-hmm. actually still make it entertaining. I feel like this and then Palm Springs, I think, are like the two things in recent memory that are like, oh, well, there is still a way to do the Groundhog Day thing and make it entertaining, because I think it's very hard to do this premise. And Russian Doll nails it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's super hard to pull off. And it's, I'm sure... I have to believe that because of the quality of the end product, that they knew going into it that there was no in between, right? They knew they had to nail it. They were doing this premise, like you said, that's been done before in many ways and many different iterations. The rules can sometimes be different from like, you know, show to show, movie to movie. And I think the one good thing they had for sure right out of the gate, besides all the behind the scenes and, you know, Amy Poehler being involved in executive producing and I believe writing some of the, co-writing some of the episodes, was Natasha Lyonne. Like, to your point, Grace, we had all come off of, you know, whether we had fallen off of it recently or not, or, you know, we finished the series or not, Orange is the New Black, and she was incredible in that. And to have like a born and bred New Yorker playing a New Yorker for me personally was not important, but it just made her performance that much more enjoyable.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, how you felt the New York representation was done, because it seems authentic to an outsider like myself.
I will say that it reminded me, so there's a bar that, like, I remember early on, there's like a bar on Avenue B or D. Yeah, it's one of the letters on the east side. And she, like, Jessica Jones actually had, I was like, wow, like big Netflix, like they love that corner. It's like right under Tompkins Square Park, I believe. And I was like, wow, they love that corner. There was, you know, like there was a storyline in Jessica Jones that was like really important to that particular bar, or there was like a moment. And they shot there, and it does seem like for the most part all of their exteriors are where they claim it to be. You know, a lot of shows they'll film in Toronto.
Or
other Canadians.
Yeah. Careful what you say.
But then put up, like, go through all the trouble of putting up the like very New York signs and having like the New York street carts and all that stuff. Doesn't Toronto have carts? I mean, I'm just saying.
We have street cars, yeah?
Yeah. Street carts, like food carts.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Yeah, see, so, whatever. But I got, you know, it's supposed to be New York, so they want to make it look great. Yeah, I mean, I think to answer your question, Marissa, I think for sure it feels authentic. She looks, first of all, her energy, her just like charisma is palpable and is like exploding off the screen. And not that I want to give any more power to the cigarette industrial complex, but this chick with the cigarette in her hand, like one of the coolest cigarette smokers probably in like the history of cinema and TV, like for me. I don't know how y'all feel about it.
No, the hair, the fashion, it's all so great. She's so great. The energy, she's amazing. She's so good. It's like this, you know, I don't think that, like, I don't know if it's fair to say, like, she's carrying the show, but she's certainly, like, elevating this show. Like, the show would probably be good without Natasha Lyonne, and it's, like, exceptional because of Natasha Lyonne, I think is, like, really fair to say.
Yeah, I think her character seems, like, very authentic, too. So whether she thought it or not, like, if I ever meet her in real life, I'm just going to think she's Nadia because she did, like, such a good job with, you know, really living inside of that space.
Yeah, it's, I think that's a great point that you made, Grace, also, of just, like, it's, they could have made it work without her, but to have her be the star is just, it's immediately taking you to a place and, like, putting you in a certain state of mind. Like, I remember going into it, loving her, but being worried for her. Like, before we knew that the show was as good as it is, I was like, oh God, like, I hope her career isn't, like, you know, I guess in some sense it was riding on this, but, like, I was just hoping that it was gonna be as good as I was hoping for her specifically, because, you know, it's her vehicle, it's her starring role, it's, like, arguably one of, if not the most high profile thing that she starred in, they're putting a lot of stock in her personality and her ability to light a cigarette from a lighter that's attached to her hip. Like, that's not easy to do.
With the whole string, like an ID tag.
I feel like, I think that's correct in the fact that, like, she's in Orange is the New Black. She's really, really good in it as, like, Nikki, but she is not a main character. Like, she's a main part of the cast, but she definitely feels like she is most of the time a side character. And I think there is a world in which, like, there's a time where, like, almost Natasha Lyonne is like, you are not the right fit to be, like, a leading person, even for, like, a comedy show. Like, I think that, like, she's pretty out there even as Nikki, right? And I think that there's a world in which I think people could say, like, yeah, I don't know if you're, like, the right fit to lead a show. I think she totally proves all of that wrong. I think that idea that, like, you're a little nervous for her is, like, I think that there is this, like, X factor about her, but, like, does it work as, like, the show that revolves around her? And I think she does. I mean, I keep, like, praising her, but, like, she is incredible in this role and she's so good at it. And I think, like, sort of breaks the mold of maybe perhaps even, like, you know, like, I don't even know where you put her in. Like, you know, I don't think you can put her in any sort of bucket, you know, in terms of, like, what type of leading actress she is in this comedy show, because she's just so unique. And I think that, like, that it's, you know, she's so captivating the whole time.
Well, and I think another thing that was really interesting about this time is, like, we had no idea what the show was, right? So she had to create, like, such trust with the audience. And I think that really speaks to her work in this whole series, because the trailers for this were nothing like what the show actually is, which sometimes I can feel really duped by. But, like, in this case, I felt, like, really surprised and grateful that I didn't know as much going into the series as I could have. And I, you know, leaned on her to take me through this adventure.
Yeah, I think to that point, it's always so fascinating, and, like, there's something that feels right about being, like, protected, you know, in a show like this, especially, that's, like, so dominated and so controlled by its own rules and, like, where it will go and how complicated it will be, that they, in a trailer, it's, like, a very tricky balance of, like, how much do you want to say and establish, like, what the show is and get people interested without, like, actually telling them potentially. And in a show like this, right, you got to believe there are people who maybe hear what it's about and actually have the opposite reaction of a normal person, which a normal person would be like, wow, that sounds amazing. People are like, that sounds complicated. I don't like that. But I guess to that point, is there, how would we put, if there's somebody, you know, who is who stumbled onto this podcast because, you know, what's going to be around in April? I can't even say so-and-so show is finished and they went to the next podcast on their feed. How would you, like, pitch this to, you know, it could be as long and or short as you want, pitch this show to, like, a newcomer who maybe didn't watch it for whatever reason?
Have you watched every fraud show there possibly is?
Well,
do you want something completely different? Watch Russian Doll.
Hey, or maybe you just wrapped up all the Bridgerton in your Netflix feed. You need something else, right? This is, seems to be the follow-up to Bridgerton. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know what's weird? I honestly, like, I feel like a little bit of a disservice to, so if you're like, got to this point in the podcast, we're like 14 minutes in. And then I'm like, why should you watch this? And I've said, well, there's a cigarette with cocaine in it. Like, it's a time, you know, they're doing Groundhog Day. Like, a little bit of like what I loved about the experience of Russian Doll was just binging it and not really knowing where it was going. Like, I do feel like this is a show that, like, if you are willing to like take the leap on pressing play on the show, you will, I think you'll enjoy it. I don't know if like, if, it kind of feels, I don't know, for everybody, but it's definitely for people like like late 20s, 30s. I don't know. There's something about like the culture of the show, like who she's hanging out with. But I feel like, if you're like watching these other PSR shows, I certainly feel like, you know, this one is up your alley. And it probably is like a disservice to you a little bit to like know more than what we've told you so far. Like, if you have not watched it, my first instinct is like, just go watch episode one. I think you'll get, you'll very quickly know the feel and tone of the show and whether it's for you or not. And they set up a lot of stuff in the first episode that like we'll walk you through, and also leave out a lot of stuff that like will make it fun to keep watching. So. No.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you were gonna like one sentence it, she's like having an existential crisis, right? Like, it's kind of like she's trying to figure out who she is, and this is a story of how she goes through that. There's a lot that can, you know, it's pretty broad, pretty vague at that point.
Yeah, no, I love that.
Like, that's like what it boy is at the heart of it.
it's super exciting to revisit, like I said, after so many years, because there's just so much I don't even remember. Like, I remember how I felt when I, you know, going through it. I think to both of your points a little bit, like, I remember watching it very quickly for sure that whole weekend. If I can get through 12 episodes of BoJack, as I always did for a new season, I was for sure gonna watch 8 episodes of a 25 minute per episode show. That's like less than 4 hours. You even have time to take breaks. That's, you know, just saying, people, prioritize your day properly. it's made for binging, and the style of it is makes you want to keep going back. And I think if anything, I just hope that season two, you know, continues the quality and the self-assuredness that it was putting out in the first season, because I think it did that really well.
Yeah, that's got to be a hard, you know, project for them, right? Like, going into this, the show kind of just hit and was really well received by everyone who watched it. So it'll be interesting to see what season two brings and if they were up to that challenge.
They've made a fun casting choice that I'm very excited about, which we'll get to later. So.
I heard, but now I don't remember, and I'm happy that I don't remember.
Yeah,
I remember being excited.
Yeah,
this is maybe like some Severance brain stuff. I remember being excited, but now I don't remember like the details of it, which is like, ooh, enticing.
I mean, I think Natasha Lyonne said that like she's, I think, elevating the show. I think she is the strongest performer in the show, but they really round out her with like not really, I think, a great choice that it's like not well-known established people to be joining her. This is like her show, her breakout show, and then they surround her with like really strong performances, but not from people who are like, oh, that person. Like, they might be now, that's like 3 years later, like, oh, I've seen them on something else. But really, Charlie Barnett and Greta Lee to me stand out as like really, really strong performances in the show. So the entire cast is really great, not just Natasha Lyonne as Nadia.
Agreed.
Yeah, Greta Lee for me, honestly, is like right there with, as far as like my personal enjoyment of the show. And this is, to be clear, this has no bearing on like the importance of the character, or like how much she appears. But anytime I see Greta Lee on the screen, it doesn't matter what it is. I'm just like, oh, okay, you have so much more rope now to play around with. Like, I am willing to watch her do anything. She's so funny. She has shown like time and time again that she's just a really good actress, especially a comedic actress. And I hope that continues. But yeah, to your point, Grace, like, I think it is smart to have people that you may recognize and you're like, oh, that person. But in the sense of like, you don't know their name at all. Like, it's literally you're saying that person and you kind of have to like go look them up and you're like, oh, they were on an episode of The Wire or whatever. Mm-hmm. And to not distract from the Natasha Lyonne of it all. Cause she's a force.
I had a, hey, it's when, John, played by Yul Vasquez is in Severance. And I was like, hey, you're in Severance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. I was wondering where I had,
I know I kept looking and I was like, him. I know, where do I know you from? And it's like, mm-hmm. You're in Severance.
Yeah. Yeah. The hair's different. I'm seeing
the hair
it
is different.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's right. A different color. I was thinking hairstyle. Yes. Wow. Yeah. Wow, what a journey I just went on.
Yeah.
I had my own like little Russian doll moment. And if you haven't seen the show, you don't know what that means.
should we talk spoilers a little bit about how we're going to cover the show for people who are perhaps if they have watched it and wondering how we're going to cover these shows each episode or have not watched it and wondering what they need to watch before they listen
yes,
to the podcast?
I would, yeah. I would love to talk spoilers, Grace. What do you think we should talk about?
I think that your best bet, if you're going to listen to our podcast, is that you should watch all of season one before you listen to our season one podcast. There, mm-hmm. We will try to be very, I think especially really big things that we know are coming, we will try to be, you know, mindful that this is something mm-hmm. big and try to let you know that like, okay, we are about to spoil it or we'll try to avoid talking about it at all.
Right.
But just, we have all watched Russian Doll and some of us more than once. Yeah. I think probably all of us have watched it more than once. So there is stuff that you just can't forget. And I think that mm-hmm. I would just feel bad if you were coming into our season one recaps thinking that you will never get spoiled on anything because I think we might just do it by accident. My best advice to you is watch all of season one and then come back for each episode. We're really going to like focus in on those episodes, but I think it will be hard for us not to. Part of the fun for us here is that we are doing a rewatch of season one leading into season two. Once we're in season two territory, we will not be watching ahead. So once we're at season two, we will watch an episode, come and podcast about it. And that's it. But with season two, we're doing two episodes at a time. So we'll be doing one and two, three and four, four and five, five and I'm all off. Two episodes at a time. Don't worry about it. Two episodes. You'll read the episode title. But I think it's in your best interest to watch them all just because, you know, we are doing a rewatch. It will be fun for us, I think. And for the folks who are joining us in the rewatch or perhaps they've watched all of season one and are listening to a podcast for the first time about it for us to like look back at, see the things that are like dropped in episode one that become really important later on. So
and in preparation for season two, so if you've already watched season one like we have and you're getting ready for season two, it'll be kind of fun to see what might be dropped in season one that shows up in season two. And it's kind of hard to, if you've watched the show, you'll understand that it's hard to not to leave things out.
Yeah. And I think to both of those points a little bit, like if you're the kind of person who already saw season one and you're like, I don't need to see it again, then, you know, obviously not only is it safe for you, it'll be probably helpful for you to listen in and just get caught up on like the broad strokes of things. Because even, you know, it's not a spoiler to say that, like, I have no idea how they do a season two based on like where season one ends. And I mean that in the best way. Like, I think, you know, any good show will paint itself into a corner, so to speak, and then have fun trying to get itself out of it, even if they don't know exactly what they're going to do in the moment. So just to reiterate, season two we'll be doing one episode per podcast. Season one will be doubling up, and it's only eight episodes.
To that point, we will remind you when when season two is about to drop, and we will be doing our coverage the next day. Please, if you're going to send us feedback, if you're going to message us on the Discord, please use spoiler tags because we will be watching one episode at a time and we are going to have to pace ourselves a little bit because we can't do seven episodes all in one day, as much as we would love to. So we will be taking the pace a little bit slower. So please, if you're sending us feedback for season two, as season two is happening, like if you watch episode one and you have a theory that you want to share with us, please make sure that it's like spoiler tagged appropriately. More importantly, if you watched up to episode five and then want to give us a theory, please make sure you spoiler it. But we will remind you about that as we get closer to the season two premiere.
Yeah, I think that's a good place setter for people just to hear it. But obviously we will be reminding people, and you know, we're trying, we will probably try it as, at least as it stands now, we will try to, you know, record as many up top as we can so that we can kind of make it easier for ourselves. But yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I'm super looking forward to it. I'm selfishly very excited to be doing it with the two of you. So, you know,
I was just going to make a joke. I was like, good luck even like watching two episodes and then having to stop and come listen to the podcast. Like, you're just going to watch all eight if you've never watched before. And then I immediately got super sad when I realized that, like, I'm going to have to stop watching Russian Doll after one episode to come and podcast about it. But it's fine. It will be very fun.
It is. You know, luckily, I have to assume that season two will maintain the brevity of episode that season one had. I think it only helps everyone, both the people who are making it and us who are trying to ingest all these like sometimes complicated ideas. So that'll definitely help with the having to like stop and come back to things. It's only, I think season two is only 7 episodes, right?
It is only 7 episodes, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm already like, but why less though?
You know what I heard the other day? So I heard on the news the other day that companies, because of inflation, are actually doing a thing where it's called shrinkflation, where like your bag of chips are going to start to get a little bit smaller, but it'll be the same price. And I feel like TV is doing the same thing to us. With TV, they're like, here's your season of Russian Doll. It's the same as before. And like, it's actually one episode shorter. So it's actually
you reached in the bag and there are only 7 chips. You're like, this is. Bullshit.
They say like, yeah, on average you'll lose like 5 chips per bag. And I'm,
no,
I think that
that's
would be
so many chips. There's already enough air in those bags to begin with.
You can't even feel how many chips there are because the bag is so inflated with air. I agree, Marissa.
Shrinkflation.
It's bogus. Shrinkflation.
But TV shows, are they're like, chips. I know you used to get like 24 episodes a season, but how about 8?
Can you imagine? Yeah, like years ago, people like fishing. Which I'm always, to be clear, I am always, and I have said this in various other contexts, I am always on the side of do less. If it's going to keep the quality up, if it is going to keep the concentration of quality along the way, the consistency of quality, if it's going to keep that high, then, I mean, make it 5 episodes. I know that's crazy, but I'm just saying.
See, as you said, I've always said, and we have podcasted way too much. I knew exactly what you said. I said, if people rewind the tape, I say same before Ariel has made it.
I didn't notice that.
But what if this is like, it could be, this is totally not going to happen, but do you remember when CDs had that hidden track? Like at the end. And so like maybe, what if it's like you get to episode 7 and then it says next episode and you're like, what?
There's a little doll right sitting there like waiting for you to click on it.
Open it and the episode pops out. That'd be great. Boop.
That'd be cool. And it would actually be really cool if you didn't see that as an option until had finished watching episode 7 in its entirety.
Yeah, but also what if like all of the seasons of Russian Doll are like Russian Dolls? So the first season was 8, or the second season will be 7, the next session will be 6.
That's actually great.
What if that's a thing and we get a movie at the end?
This makes me feel so much better, even though I want it to be shorter, really. I love that there could be an not so much in universe, but in theme reason, so to speak, for why they would get shorter. And it's, I do love the brilliant thought that there would be like many more seasons to come, even if they get shorter and shorter.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see how it plays out. It's just, you know,
that would be like the 7 seasons in a movie, right?
Seasons in a movie, because the last one would have to be one long episode. One episode. And you're not going to do 25 minutes. Give me at least a 50.
Like, wow. Well, Russian Netflix, if you're listening, right. You can pay Marissa royalties.
It's dear,
when you do
out
6 episodes next season. Yeah.
Dear Netflix, we had this crazy idea. I couldn't help but wonder. Sorry. I think for kicking off, to do like a Russian Doll episode length episode for this kickoff seems appropriate.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that we should say? Like, if there's anyone that's like, I don't know, I don't think this show's for me,
just give it a go. Just give it a go and keep an open mind. And you'll be taken on a ride one way or another. It's something that we cannot explain without spoiling it, really. Right. So that's what you need to know. And have fun with it.
Yeah, Eric, you were talking on the Batman podcast that like a lot of, some movies have like are very like, is it what was the vibe point you made about how like,
oh, like the
consistency of vibe
versus like consistency of quality. Yeah,
right. But I feel like Russian Doll is certainly a vibes show in many ways, that like you are just like imported into this world and you just live in it for eight, you know, 25 minute episodes, and it's lovely. So I think you know, it might not be for everybody. We certainly all love it. I know a lot of people out there in the PSR world love it. Yeah, watch the first episode, and if at the end of it you're like, yeah, I don't think it's for me, I think that's probably fair, and you probably know, because I think like for a lot of us it was like, yeah, this is good, okay, I'm gonna keep watching.
Yeah, so, that's only the length of like smoking two or three cigarettes. You know,
you
like back to back.
Wow.
I mean, listen, again, I am not pro cigarette, but man, Natasha Lyonne, she's making me. I'm like, is she Parisian?
This
like,
is not Mad Men. You're on the wrong podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well. So, yeah, I think This Is Not Mad Men is a great place to
I don't know what show I want to cover, but can the Russian Doll podcast like unofficially be called the This Is Not Mad Men podcast?
It's like Russian Doll colon.
This is not Mad Men.
Yeah, I mean, it really is not Mad Men. If you liked Mad Men, this is not the same show. Also.
Yeah, it's like Guardians of the Galaxy. There's like Drax character. He's like, no, this is literally not Mad Men. Like, yeah, it's not even a quality thing. Yes, so we will be back with our spoiler-ish recap of episodes 1 and 2 of season 1, and we will be starting our journey, and we hope that you will join us. But don't lose your lighters. If they aren't connected to your waist, then you should keep them on a string. And I speak from experience. Okay, I think we've done enough. So we will see you soon for episodes 1 and 2 of season 1. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.